Welcome to Identity Church Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
An awesome opportunity that Pastor Pam's going to get to do the message today. And it's an honor for me to introduce her, because she is my wife. I love my wife. I love to listen to her preach. Because the wisdom of God that's inside of her just starts coming out. So you never know what she's going to say. And she never knows what she's going to say either. She has her notes and she has her guidelines. But all of a sudden God kicks in. If you ever had that happen to you when you're ministering and you're preaching and God just takes over and you're just a vessel. It is so awesome. So it's a privilege and an honor to introduce my wife today, Pastor Pamela.
And amen. Okay, let's shift gears, man. Okay, are you ready? Okay, do you know what today is?
Pentecost Sunday.
It's Pentecost. Okay, all right, now I got to give a promo, okay? If you don't come or haven't come on Tuesday and Wednesday nights for Identity School of Supernatural Empowerment, with Bill Vanderbush and our own pastor, you're missing it, man. I mean, we did prophetic activations that were just really cool. And, you know, it does my heart good to see people step into things that haven't done them before. Just not the elite group. Okay, so we've got some USBs over here. We got the over here on the table, 24 hours of identity. Okay, Bill Vanderbush, I have it. I say get it. It's a good resource because you listen to it over and over and over and you're transformed into the image of him. We have some others over there that's in a brown box and their power and presence. And they're $25. Okay, guys, I say it's a good resource. Now, listen, if you come to my house, you'll see books everywhere. Okay, because I study. But you know what? Sometimes I pick up those books and I start to read them. I go, eh. But honestly, this is a resource that you will continue to use over and over again. Okay? So come next Tuesday, Wednesday night. It's awesome. Okay, Pentecost. So what does that mean? Well, I'm going to take you on a journey. Okay, I'm going to go Old Testament to New Testament. Okay, Shavuot, and I apologize for mispronunciating it, but there must have been 10, 15 different ways to pronunciate it. So I'm going to stick with the one I know. It is Festival of Weeks. Okay, it was an agricultural festival. Okay, and the Jewish, how many people know Jesus is Jewish? Yes. Say it, Jesus is Jewish. So it behooves us to study some of it. We're not bound by the legalism of it. Okay, but it's good stuff to know, because when we read it, we read the word. We just read it word for word, but that's not the way it is. Karen Simmons brought up in Kingdom School, the word, Hebraic word brings life. It has many meanings that keep expanding. Okay, Shavuot was the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai. Okay, remember in Exodus, the Lord says, gather the people to the mountain. I want to speak to them. Now, of course, he said, consecrate yourselves to come. And so they did. Let me give a plug. This is called the Kumash. The Kumash is a rabbi commentary with a Hebrew in it. I tell you, it brings things to life. Because sometimes when we read the Old Testament, we go, man, what's the matter with God? Did he wake up on the wrong side of the bed? And it's just not so. But that's our perception of it. Okay, I'm going to begin with Exodus 19, 17. And y'all know, I do the amp, I like words. Then Moses brought the people from the camp to meet God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke, for the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like that of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. As the trumpet blast grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him with a voice. The Lord came down upon Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain. And Moses went up in an elevator. No. I'm trying to see if you're paying attention. I'm telling you, supernatural is Genesis and Exodus. If you will just read it, I mean, it expands and opens up. Okay. Through the studies I did on it, it was a Shabbat morning, exactly 7 weeks after the Exodus, or 50 days. All the children of Israel gathered at the foot of Mount Sinai, where the Lord descended in a cloud, in the midst of thunder, lightning, billowing smoke, and a shofar blast that grew louder and louder. Sounds like a show, don't it? Didn't sound quiet, does it? Amen. Okay. What happened at that point? Okay, the Chumash teaches something entirely different, because you're thinking, man, it must have been loud. Lightning, right? Thunder, wow. Anybody knows a shofar blast, woo, right? How is that silent? But you know what they said? They said, not a sound was heard. Not a sound. Not a bird chirp. Not a owl fly. And the sea didn't bellow. Why? Because it was not only important for the Israelites to receive the Torah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. It was important for all of creation. Now that paints a totally different picture, doesn't it? They call it a day of silence. You know what they believe? That in order to build a relationship with God, that you kind of need to get quiet. But they say you first must begin to know yourself. Why? The kingdom of God is within. And we all have computers, phones, earbuds. You know, I must look ridiculous going down the road with Christy. I'm sitting here having a conversation with her. She looks over at me. Huh? She didn't catch it at all. Because we're too busy. What would happen if we got quiet? What would happen if the Holy Spirit showed us some things about herself? Well, I reckon responsibility might come in. Accountability, right? Well, it's just like, you know, the Israelites. No! You hear him. I don't want to hear him. Why do you think that was? You hear God. Okay, it's just like people that run prophet to prophet to prophet. Because they don't want to take responsibility. Okay. Hey, guys, do you know I have a brother-in-law that's a rabbi? He gave me this stuff. And here's my mom. My mom, Jo, if you haven't met her. God told Moses in 19:9, the revelation at Sinai would cause people to believe in him, for they would see and hear that God speaks to man. It wasn't just a few. The Chumash says the revelation would cause people to believe in him and in later, listen to this, catch us, prophets as well. For they would see and hear God speak, that God speaks to man. What was his heart, guys? His heart has always been to speak to you. His heart has always been to have relationship with you. It hasn't been a select few. Okay? This is what happened on Mount Sinai. Okay, this is what the rabbis believe. They call it a midrash. You know what a midrash is? When they sit down round about the table and they go back and forth on the revelations of God. And it expands. They believe that the sound, Kevin, you got to get this. The sound, when God spoke, it was one sound, and one sound went 10 commandments. That's what they believe in. One sound. They didn't catch it. This is our God. They didn't catch it. So God knew in order for man to understand, he'd have to do it word upon word. Let's slow it down a bit. And he did. He went through the first commandment. He went through the second commandment. Whoa, stop. We can't handle this. We don't want the responsibility of it. You listen, Moses. Hey. But it was his heart and desire to always speak to man. Okay, remember what I said. They believe that what would happen on Mount Sinai, what God believed was that all man would know that he speaks to them and later prophets. Isn't that interesting? That is very interesting. It's been said that God's voice reverberated with an intensity and a strength that had never been revealed before. The voice was so powerful and penetrated, listen to this, penetrated every single person's heart who stood at Mount Sinai. But yet not a sound was heard. Now this goes back to what I'm saying. Not a sound was heard. God spoke to each heart in a most personal way because each person had been chosen to become a recipient of the Torah. Now listen, there was no New Testament. Jesus, even when the New Testament, when they're walking, what we read, they didn't have it. They were walking it, writing it, weren't they? They didn't have it. All they had was the Torah. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Exodus 20:18 through 22. Now all the people perceived the thunderings and lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the smoking mountain. And as they looked, they trembled with fear and fell back and stood afar off. And they said to Moses, "You speak to us and we will listen, but not let God speak to us lest we die." And Moses said to the people, "Fear not. For God has come to prove you so that the reverential fear of him may be before you that you may not sin. And the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said to Moses, thus shall you say to the Israelites, you have seen for yourselves that I have talked with you from heaven. Guys, there was an opportunity for a major breakout of Pentecost, was there not? The Holy Spirit was present. Wow. You know, I just get in there and I just eat it and I eat it. And I just partake and partake. And you know why he did not want them to touch the side of the mountain? According to the rabbis, the Midrash, he didn't want them to die. Now, what is it we hear? Oh, he smote them, he killed them. And when I get in there and I begin to see where their perspective is, where they're coming, because this thing's been handed down from ages. Okay? What their perspective is, it gives me, oh God, I see you. I see you in the midst. I see your love, your mercy, and your grace in the midst. Okay, by the way, my message name is Come Holy Spirit, Come. Come Holy Spirit, Come. Pentecost. I'm going to take you. Okay, now I'm not here to debate whether that Holy Spirit was in them, on them, what have you. That's irrelevant. But he was all through it. David said, don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. Okay? Now, we are in, okay, I'm going to take you to Acts. Okay, 7 weeks after Jesus' resurrection is when Pentecost happened. Isn't that interesting? 7 weeks after the Exodus, 7 weeks after the resurrection. No coincidences in the kingdom. So Jesus says to them, Luke 24:49, and behold, I will send forth unto you what my Father has promised. But remain in the city, Jerusalem, until you are clothed with power on high. On high. So he's telling them, hey, go away, guys, because it's really going to profit you if I go away. Because I'm only one man. But the Holy Spirit will come and he will live on the inside of each man. I'm going to take you to John first, John 14:16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain with you, how long? Forever. 26 says, but the comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf. He will teach you all things, and he will cause you to recall, bringing to remembrance everything I have told you. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. The strengthener, the standby, the counselor. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Acts 2:1. Now listen. I had this conversation. Let's see. The word, I'm just going, they said too much scripture. It's so good. How do I not give scripture? Okay, so Jesus is talking to him. This is actually Acts 1. While being in their company, it's verse 4, and eating with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the Father had promised, for what the Father had promised, of which he said, "You have heard me speak. For John baptized with water, but not many days from now, you shall be baptized with, introduced into the Holy Spirit." So when they were assembled, listen to this. So Jesus is saying, hey, this is going to happen. So when they were assembled, they asked him, "Lord, when is this the time? Is this the time you will reestablish the kingdom and restore it to Israel?" What? They still didn't get it yet. They still didn't understand. And you know what's interesting thing? These are moments before the ascension. Couldn't they have thought of something else? No, all they could thought of, am I going to sit beside you? Am I going to be at your right hand? Am I going to be at your left? Well, what happens? That's what happens when we come in with our plan. Yes. When we come in with our plan, they still hadn't let it go. I'm like, really? He's getting ready to ascend. And you could think of many other questions you would like at that moment to ask. He says, now see, this is what Jesus says. And this is really cool. He said to them, "It's not for you to become acquainted with and know what time brings, the things and events of time and their definite periods or fixed years and season, their critical niche in time, which the Father has appointed by his own choice and authority and personal power." Then he goes on and he says, but, you know what a but does? Cancels out everything else. "But you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria to the ends, the very bounds of the earth." Okay, so this is what happened. So Jesus is telling them, hey guys, you gotta go wait, because he's coming. And then one of them speaks up, hey, when's this gonna happen? When are you going to take your throne? And so Jesus diverts the conversation and gets it back on track. This is the focus. Have you ever been in a conversation with someone and they threw you a left? And you went, where'd that come from? Okay, but Jesus had a purpose. And so his purpose was, hey, the Holy Spirit is coming. He's coming. You guys be ready. Because they're still looking for him to take his place. And when he had said this, even as they were looking at him, he was caught up in a cloud, received, and carried him away out of their sight. So just right before that, they're still pushing their agenda. You know, sometimes we come from places and we think, and then you come to a new place and you say, this is the way we did it back here. This is the way it needs to be done. This is what was, and it needs to continue. When actually there's a blueprint. God has a blueprint. Okay, because he did. He said he did. And it's not for you to know, did he? The appointed time, he was diverting them. There's a blueprint. And each place that you go, each thing that you do, you're to be spirit-led. That means I may not do it the way that I did it before. And Rodney, the doxology has anointing on it. But when you use it over and over and over again, it becomes rote. God knew. He knew. So he sent the Holy Spirit, what? For a better way. But I don't understand. 2 + 2 = 4. Isn't that the way it's always supposed to be? Nope. Nope. The way that you did it before may not be the way that you do it now. But see, if it's your will, your way, you're not submitted unto him. Jesus, when are you going to take the throne? What a merciful Savior he was. But you go to this place and wait. Because the Comforter, the Standby, the Strengthener, the Counselor, everything you need to bring you into truth is going to be present. Okay, Acts. Well, let me explain. From there, they went back to Jerusalem. They chose another apostle because Judas had hung himself, etc., etc. So I'm fast forwarding you. And Acts 2:1. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all assembled together in one place. Now, isn't that interesting? One place. Now, this is a place they've been before, because that's where they went for the Last Supper. So they were familiar with it. Okay, but they got together and prayed. Okay, and I'm sure it wasn't pleasant. I'm sure the circumstances weren't pleasant for them. They probably had to sit on the floor, and we complain because our chairs aren't soft enough. But you know what happens? When the Holy Spirit, when Jesus invites you, it doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter. When suddenly there came a sound from heaven, like a rushing of a violent tempest blast, and it filled the whole house in which they were sitting. Okay, guys. It sounds like it was loud, doesn't it? Again, right? All right. It was the sound of a mighty rushing wind. There wasn't an actual wind, but the sound. From there, and they were, okay, let's go to four. No, go to 3, I'm sorry. And there appeared to them tongues resembling fire, which was separated and distributed, and which settled on each one of them. Do you think they were really tongues of fire? Do you? I mean, there's nothing to say that it's any different. Have y'all ever seen Branham's picture? When he's in Congress and he has fire over his head. I should have gotten it and showed it to you. God can do anything.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, verse 4, and they were all filled, diffused throughout their souls with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other different foreign tongues, as the Spirit kept giving them clear and loud expression in each tongue in inappropriate words. Now, I'm going to fast forward, yeah? It says, in 6, it says, when the sound was heard, the multitude came together, and they were astonished and bewildered. How can how How can we hear this? We're each hearing it in our own language. How can this be? God can do anything. All he needed what? Was a submitted heart for obedience. Go wait in the upper room. I got stuff to do. I don't want to do that. I got to go shopping. That'd be Christy. I got to go to Kohl's. I'm just going to kind of fill in, Rodney. And all were beside themselves with amazement and were puzzled and bewildered, saying to one another, "What can this mean?" Others made a joke. They're simply drunk. But Peter, remember the one that ran and denied Jesus and all? Peter stood up and said, verse 16, "But instead, this is the beginning of what was spoken through the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and the young men shall see visions." Wow. "And your old men shall dream dreams. Yes, and on my men servants also, and on my maid servants also. Those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy, telling forth the divine counsels, predicting future events pertaining especially to God's kingdom." Verse 19 says, "And I will show wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoking vapor." 21, "And it shall be that whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You men of Israel, 22, "Listen to what I say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man accredited and pointed out and shown forth, commended and attested to you by God, by the mighty works, wonders, and signs. This Jesus, when delivered up, according to the definite and fixed purpose and settled plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and you put out of your way, killing him by the hands of lawless and wicked men. But God," remember, "but" cancels out everything before, "but God raised him up." Do you hear me? He raised him up, liberating him from the pangs of death, seeing that it was not possible for him to continue to be controlled or retained by it. That's our Jesus. Maybe, just maybe, we need to do less time talking about the differences. Less time talking about, "Oh, he didn't believe this. He don't believe that. Oh, yeah." No. Maybe we need to have more time talking about him. But listen, and with the power, Holy Spirit. From there, he began to talk about David and what David said about God. And I'm going to go to verse 37. I apologize. I don't usually work with the monitors. 237. I'm going to read it. Now when they heard this, they were stung, cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? You mean it's not about me? It's not about me. It's all about him. From there, verse 38, and Peter answered them, repent, change your views and purpose to accept the will of God. 38. In the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of and release from your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It has nothing to do with what I did. It has everything to do with what he did.
Yes. Amen.
So it says, I need to repent. I need to change my mind.
Yes.
His ways are higher. I'm not to lean on to my own understandings. Am I? I'm supposed to follow after him. And I can't do it without the Holy Spirit. I cannot do it. I cannot live this life. I can be a powerless Christian. Do you hear me? And I will not serve a lifeless gospel.
Amen. Amen.
The Christ I know came, died, resurrected. And he said, here, you overcome. I've overcome the world. Yeah. That's the Christ I know.
Right. That's right.
He says in 39, for the promise of the Holy Spirit is to and for you and your children. And to and for all that are far away. Even to and for as many as the Lord our God invites and bids to come to himself. When I began to read this, I'm like, oh my God. We've just been focusing on the wrong stuff. Whose kingdom are we building? All I got to do is live a submitted, yielded life to him. And it's a choice. Every day he sets death and life before you, blessings and cursings. You choose. That's his grace. That's his mercy. That's his loving kindness. That's our Father. Not my will be done, but yours.
I don't like them. They're not nice. They don't look at me.
They don't say hello. Honestly, that's immaturity.
Amen.
Because listen, people are hurting. People are hurting. They need life. They need the power of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You know, I went to put on my clothes and I got some gold and I had silver and I'm like, my God. Usually I try to coordinate. Gold and silver, I have none. But what I have, I give to you freely. It's not the next who's who.
Right.
See, we're all caught up in me. In our worlds. And sometimes you just got to step out of that world. And say, how can I help you? What can I do? How can I make this road a little bit lighter? Clear. Let me help you clear the path just a little bit. What can I do to help you? Oh, wait a minute. You're supposed to serve me. Haven't we seen a lot of that going on? Listen, and we can't judge. because really, they're wounded individuals.
There it is.
Okay? So we got to love regardless. That's Amen. What the kingdom's all about. Love regardless
yes.
of what's happening in your life. There's so much more I could go into. But listen, if we aren't a sold out individuals as they were at the Pentecost, if we don't have our own personal Pentecost, go home.
Come on.
I'm serious.
Yes.
Why are we doing this? Have we lost sight of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords? Have we lost sight unto love the Lord God with all my heart, mind, soul, and to love my neighbor as myself?
Yes.
Have I lost it? This is the purpose of the Pentecost. Do you think that they all were in unity? I just got to kill this cow, man. All right? I'm just going to gut it. Okay? When we all get it right, it's going to happen. Ooh, sounds like works to me. When we all get it right. Listen, on down it says that those who received Christ were all in unity. They had commonality. I'm guaranteeing it wasn't about who did this or who did the what. I guarantee it was Jesus Christ was their commonality.
That's good.
So the unity doesn't come by what I believe, what I think, what you think. It comes from what he says.
Yes.
So when can stuff happen? Now. As soon as you lay down your life and you say, this is it, God. No more. No more will I seek it to be about me. No more. This is the message of the gospel.
Amen.
Laying down your life for another. Yes, they were cramped, and yes, they probably didn't have deodorant on when they were in Pentecost, and yes, they were probably hungry, and it wasn't real easy to take a bath, and it wasn't real easy to go to the bathroom. I gotta have my coffee. I'm serious. And there are people giving their lives for the gospel.
Yes.
And we sit here and we say, oh, I want to speak. Let your life speak. Let your life speak. Let your, see, I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't care if I ever stand up here again. Because it's not about me.
Come on.
And if I can't deliver what he wants, then by God, I need to go sit down.
Yeah.
I am passionate. I am passionate about the Lord. And what you see on Sunday mornings, ladies and gentlemen, is me. There's no show. And when there gets to be a show, I need to sit down. I need to seek my heart. I need to get silent. Silent. To hear God. This is the message of Pentecost. Come, Holy Spirit. Come. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, come, find a vessel. Come, find a vessel yielded and surrendered to you. Come, find a vessel. It's not my way, but your way. This is for each of us to introspect, have our lives look like Christ. Are we caught up in the busyness that we forget that we need to set time go aside? Because remember, there's a blueprint. I'm going to ask some people to come forward. Because we're going to open up the altar. Because I'm telling you, I'm kicking, man. I don't mess around.
Amen.
Okay? I love God. And if anything holds me back, it's going to go down the road.
Amen.
Okay? I've seen way too much. I've seen him keep me. I see his love and his mercy and his grace everywhere I go. This is your portion. You know, the interesting thing about Shavuot, the giving of the Torah, it's for identity and gifts. Isn't that interesting? We think it's a new thing. When God all the while is calling us into his heart, deeper into his heart, into the inheritances that he has. Hands open, said, come if you will. Come if you will. Can I get you a place, sweetie? Come if you will. Holy Spirit. Come on, sweetie. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come. Remember, if it's repentance is what you need, by God, get rid of it. If it's an infilling you need, come on and get it.
Hallelujah.
If you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, come get it.
Amen.
These are people just like you.
Yes.
That have decided to live a life laid down. They're just like you. And the power of agreement.
Yes.
You hear me? The power of agreement. The Holy Spirit.
Yes.
So I invite you. Don't leave here the same way. You guys know I'm big on that. Don't come in the door and leave, please. Leave different. Let the Lord pierce your heart. Let him show you of the things to come. He shows you great and mighty works. Your heart receives. This is his heart. He didn't cause what you're going through, baby, but he has got the answer. He's got the answer. And sometimes you just can't see it. And these people here will help you. Because they'll come into agreement.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You may also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read from the Bible, take notes, connect with us on the social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning in to today's message from Identity Church.